without a place to lay his head. He never had a home. His mission was to Calvary for sinners to atone. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished, he did cry. Now he's gone to prepare a place, a mansion in the sky. We're almost home, then we'll see the Savior's face. Almost home, our loved ones will embrace. A few more miles, then we'll see the pearly gate. While traveling through this world below, its attractions catch our eyes, but they can't compare to our home that awaits us beyond the skies. Designed and fashioned by his nail-scarred hands, with such splendor I can't describe. He'll gird himself and feed us when the family all arrives. We're almost home, then we'll see the Savior's face. We're almost home, and our loved ones will embrace. A few more miles,
Thank you, Brother Lassiter. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Job. The book of Job. We shall ask that you find Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. And we'll begin to read in a moment in verse number 1. While you're finding Job, I want to say just a word of to our young people, our teenagers. I looked at the report of our first in-teens meeting Thursday night and soul-winning meeting and was greatly encouraged. And I want to tell you what a blessing it is to see young people wanting to learn how to take a step beyond Sunday school and church in spiritual growth. They want to learn to develop to be examples and leaders, and they're willing to invest some time in a program called In-Teens here at our church. And then they went soul winning. I understand there was, how many on that first night? 30. And that's encouraging. And then yesterday they went down to Wills Point, Texas, down in East Texas, to the Young Fundamental Baptist Youth Conference rally. And I understand they took about a 50 with them then. And I don't know, somebody said y'all just about won everything. Did, huh? Well, amen. Be humble about it. Don't brag about it and be boastful or proud. God will take it away. But, hey, I want you to know, young people, how proud I am of you. What a blessing and encouragement it is to me. Now, if you found Job chapter 14, would you stand, please, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1. Job chapter 14. If you haven't found it, just open your Bible somewhere and look intelligent, and nobody around you will know that you haven't found the book of Job. The Bible says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Now, verse number one is a very encouraging verse, isn't it? It tells us that we're going to have a few days in our life and they're going to be full of trouble. Then it tells us we're going to be like a flower, we're going to bloom and then die. We're going to be like a shadow, we appear at a moment and then we disappear. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? This is Job talking. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? That's a question. And he answers it, not one. Hey, if you're trying to clean up so you can go to heaven, you're unclean, and unclean people can't clean themselves up by themselves to be clean and acceptable to God, not one. Then look at verse number 5, our text for today. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast pointed bounds, his bounds that he cannot pass. I want to speak to you today on this subject. Days, months, and boundaries. Days, months, and boundaries. That's how God inspires Job to describe your life and mine. The days, the Bible says, are determined. The number of months is fixed with God. And the boundaries of our life have already been set. And we cannot pass. Father, help me this morning to bring this message in such a way that you will open our heart and our mind to the Holy Spirit of God and to the will of God for our life. Lord, there's some people here today foolishly wasting their days, their months, and they're approaching the extent of boundaries you've already set. There's some listening to my voice who, if they should leave this life today, would face you with nothing but waste, a wasted life. Help us to realize that we are eternal beings. We're never going to... Our life is never going to end. And we're going to spend that forever either in heaven or hell. And this thing we call life here on earth is but a small part of our existence. And yet it is here that we determine how we're going to live our life and for whom we're going to live our life. It's here we determine whether we're going to accept God's provision for salvation and spend forever in heaven, or act like we don't need it and die and go to hell. I'm asking you to speak to our hearts today. Awaken Christians to the shortness of the opportunity, to the brevity of time that we have to serve you and live for you and honor you. And awaken the unsaved to their lost condition, to the fact that they need Jesus more than anything else in this world today. They need to be saved. We ask you to save every one of them today. Open their hearts to the Word of God. Speak to them about their need. Let your message supersede my message. And Holy Spirit of God, would you do your work in their lives? We pray for every ministry going on at this time, whether it be in our Spanish ministry or in our children's churches, our nursery, or here in the auditorium. Be with our B, and C Sunday schools that will follow. And may we see many people saved today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me read our text verse again, verse number 5. Seeing his or man's days are determined, the number of man's months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Although man is an eternal being, his days upon this earth are short, and they're limited. Job said in chapter 7, verse number 1, is there not an appointed time to men upon the earth? Job is not merely asking a question, he's literally making a statement. He's saying there is an appointed time. We do not have endless time in our life here on earth. And the time God has given to each of us is different. It's peculiar just to our life, whether it's a short period of time or a long period of time or a mid-sized period of time, we do not know. Job chapter 7, verse 6 says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Phew, 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 phew. They're just going by, flying by. Job 14, 1, he said, man that is born of woman is of few days and is full of trouble. In Job 14, 2, man's life is compared to a flower and a shadow. And then in Job chapter 14, verse 5, we're told that man's days are determined. God has determined them. His months are numbered. And God has set boundaries around his life so that he cannot live or travel beyond those boundaries. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I believe every word of it. God said it. That settles it. That's the reason you go out to a graveyard and you begin to read the tombstones and you'll find that people's lives vary. There's people in the graveyard from that long to 70, 80, 100 years old. And there's as many people out there 40 years and under as there is 40 years and older. God is revealing through his servant Job how short and how limited in days and fixed in length our life really is here. This was brought vividly to mind again to Mrs. Smith and I this week as we flew up to Illinois to visit our good and dear friend Keith and Carla Gomez. I had the privilege of leading both of them to Christ, or seeing them both saved. Mrs. Gomez is 53 years old. She's dying with incurable cancer. The doctor said she had 6 weeks or less to live before she's promoted to heaven. 53, that's the prime of our life. She should be living in the prime of her life. She's only 53 years old, and yet her days, her months, and boundaries for this life are close at hand. She's almost lived out her appointed time, and she's done it faithfully to her Lord, faithfully to her husband, faithfully in her church, and faithfully before her family. Now, I've said that simply to not make this a funeral sermon, but to simply help you to understand, though we are forever creatures, we're not going to live forever in this life. And the days of our life are already determined. The months that we're going to live, how many, that's already set with God. It's known to him. And furthermore, God has drawn boundaries out there in the future and said, this is where your life comes to, and you cannot pass it. God said that in His Word. Now, with this in mind, I want us to consider the question, why has God given us any life here since it's short, limited, and fixed in length? Why has God given us any life? Well, let me say, first of all, God has given us days, months, and boundaries here on earth so He could choose out a people for Himself. That's why we're here. God is choosing out a people for Himself. And He's given us days, months, and boundaries here on earth. And during that time frame is the time period in which that choice is being made. Now you listen to what I'm about to say. God wants a people who want Him. God is choosing those who choose Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God created man to glorify and honor God. But sin separated man from God and made it impossible to fulfill God's purpose to glorify and honor God. As sinners, as lost sinners, we cannot glorify and honor God with our life. So God provided a plan of salvation that provides for sinful man redemption, forgiveness of sin, and cleansing from our sin through Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for us on that old rugged cross. In God's plan, God has chosen to choose the sinner who chooses to accept Christ as his Savior. Did you hear what I said? God has chosen to choose the sinner who accepts Christ as his Savior. He wants a people who wants Him. So, well, I just believe I was elect before the foundation of the world. Yeah, according to foreknowledge, the Bible says, God knew who was going to choose Him. But God did not determine that these are going to choose Him and these are not and going to hell. God wants a people who chooses Him, who wants Him. He created us as a people to love God and serve God and glorify God. And sin separated us from God and made it impossible for man to love God in his sinful state or to serve Him and honor Him and glorify Him. That's the reason He sent His Son Jesus. Now keep in mind, God in His foreknowledge saw man's sin before He created man. And in His foreknowledge, He provided a plan of redemption and a Savior. And even in His foreknowledge, saw Jesus dying on the cross and being raised again from the dead 3 days and three nights later. When the sinner chooses to accept Christ as Savior, he's born again spiritually by the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, it's already God at work that brings our conviction. It's already God at work that gives us the understanding of our need of salvation. It's already God at work that convicts our heart. And it's God already at work that gives us the faith with which to call upon Jesus. And when we call upon Him, He saves us. We're born again. The saved sinner can now have a relationship with God. You see, that part of us that has a relationship with God is our spirit. And man, when Adam sinned, Adam's spirit died, and that sinful nature was passed on to all men through Adam. We're all born into this world with that sin nature and a spirit that is dead and cannot worship God. The new birth makes that spirit in us alive again. We're quickened, we're made alive, we're born again, and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God moves into us. The saved sinner can now have a relationship with God. Now in Christ Jesus, the person who is saved, as James put it in his epistle, can draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to him. The saved are chosen by God when we, as lost sinners, choose God through Jesus Christ. And our months, our days, our boundaries given to us in life give us enough time here to get saved before we die and face eternity. There's enough time for every person to get saved in those days and months and boundaries before we face eternity. You say, but wait a minute, preacher. How about people dying before they even understand? Our great God has made provision for the little children whose days, months, and boundaries come to their end before they reach the age of understanding. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, learn this. Little babies don't go to heaven because they got sprinkled. They don't go to heaven because mom and daddy were Christians. They don't go to hell because they weren't. The future eternal destiny of little babies that die and children that don't reach the edge of understanding is settled in the finished work of Christ. Look at verse number 12, Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's talking about Adam. And everybody that followed Adam faces death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Two things there. Who are those that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions? Adam's transgression was willful sin. Who are those among us that have not willfully sinned? It's little babies. It's small children that have not reached the age of understanding. And the similitude of one to come, Jesus, God incarnate, was going to come as a little child, a little baby. But not as the offense. Now look at verse 15. Here's the crux of it. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. That's all of those who suffer death, though they've not ever sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, underline that word many, much more than what sin did through Adam, much more. The grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And I submit to you that many there in the first part of chapter, or verse 15, for it through the offense of one, many be dead, is the same many as is stated in the last part. It's talking about little kiddos. So thank God, because of our wonderful God, though the days and months and boundaries of some are just a few. Maybe their days on earth do not even begin from the womb. Hey, that's a wonderful thing about God. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The world's trying to kill little babies, and God made provision to save them. I said once to a group of our people, there's going to be more people in heaven that never accepted Christ than those who have accepted Christ. And of course they looked at me as a heretic. And I was talking about all the little babies that have died from natural causes or by abortion. Thank God for Jesus and His finished work. God has given to each of us enough time in the days and the months and the boundaries. Though it may be short, we can choose to accept Christ as our Savior, and not one of us has an excuse. Second thing I want to point out today is, though our time is numbered in days, months, and with boundaries set by God here in this life, we have enough time to do God's will for our lives. God's will and calling for our life does not exceed the time we've been given to live and serve Him. We've got enough time to do His will. We've got enough time to serve Him. But mankind can be foolish and carnal and waste that short time we are given here and face God with a wasted life. And I'm afraid some listening to my voice have and are currently wasting their short and limited time by not obeying the will of God for your life. One day, when we reach that last day and of that last month, and we come to the end of our set boundaries, we'll face our Savior. We'll either face Him with bloody hands and a wasted life, or we'll face Him having been faithful and hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We've wasted too much of our life already, haven't we? Oh my, we need to make the rest of it count for God, and we need to begin today making it count for God. I hope we'll be wise and do as we're commanded to do in the Scripture. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 15, 16, and 17, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means very carefully, cautiously, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, making every day, month count. Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Psalm 90, verse 12 said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Are you doing that? Or are you wasting your days? Wasting your life. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, 7, and 8, 6, 7, 8, and 9, therefore, he's speaking to Christians, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse number 8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether we're present with Him or we're absent from Him, we're going to live to make our life accepted by Him, pleasing to Him. He said, I'm not going to live to waste my days and months. Thirdly, seeing that our days are determined and our months are set and our boundaries in this life are fixed that we cannot pass, what should we do about it? First of all, we don't have time to waste on carnal and worldly endeavors. Away with this crowd that says, I'm going to live for myself and do the things I want to in the flesh, and then I'll serve God. You don't know how much time you have. Don't waste a day or a month of it on carnal and worldly endeavors. We don't have time to waste when it comes to choosing Christ as Savior. Not one of you know that you're going to be here tomorrow. That moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus should come or our life could end. My daddy went to the mailbox down on the farm, got the mail, walked back, leaned up against a tree, and met the Lord just that quick. When he started to the mailbox, he wasn't planning to meet Jesus. Just a month short of being 90 years old, met the Lord. No one of us, not one of us, have time to waste on carnal and worldly endeavors. Because our days are determined and our months are set and our boundaries are fixed, we don't have time to waste when it comes to choosing Christ as Savior. Choose Him now, not next week, not next month. I preached the funerals of teenagers that said, I won't accept Him today, I plan to. Maybe next week. And they died. Their days, their months, their boundaries were already set. And they didn't know it as a teenager. They were right here at the edge. We don't have time to waste when it comes to choosing to accept Christ as Savior. We don't have time to waste before we yield to God's call and do His will for our life. Some are so carnal. Things are more important to them than God. Credit cards are more important to them for God. They don't have money to serve God and do the will of God, but they've got money to buy cars and cell phones and all the dumb things this world has to offer. You're going to have to face God and give an account for all that. We don't have time to waste before we yield to God's call and do His will. Songwriter said, only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I just want to ask you this morning, are you living your life in the will of God today? Have you answered His call to salvation? Have you yielded to His will about serving Him? I must tell you, time is running out. Every day wasted is one day closer to that last day of that last month when you come to the brink of that boundary that's already fixed. You don't know where it is, neither do I. Time's running out. There's so little time left to do the very thing you were created and saved to do. You're not living for Jesus. You're living in rebellion to the God who loved you and made you and saved you. And finally, allow me to remind you that God said that the boundaries are fixed and we cannot pass beyond them. Perhaps you already played the fool up to this point. Don't be a fool any longer and think you've still got a lot of time to waste. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that your days and months or boundaries are way out there in your future somewhere. Only God knows the day, the month, and where that boundary is set. But we all can be sure of this very moment of time. We can be sure that we're saved and we can be sure that we're right with God. You can't undo the wasted years, but you can commit them to God and put them under the blood and be forgiven and begin now to live your life to serve Jesus Christ. All we can do is be sure of this moment. No one can say that he has a day. All we can be sure of is that we have now, this moment. And what you do with the now of your life is what's going to matter forever. In this now of your life, you're deciding about your heaven or your hell. In the now of your life, you're faithfully fulfilling God's will and calling, or you are wasting your life in rebellion and worthless effort. Because I want to go to heaven, I've already accepted Christ in the now moments of my life. And so should you. Because I want to glorify and honor my Savior, I'm living my life this very day and this very minute in His will and calling for my life. Are you? My nows, my days, my months, and those boundaries are all committed to God alone. I'm not going to worry about them. I'm going to worry about serving God now, obeying God now, living for God now, doing the will of God now. I'll not gamble with my soul. I'll not waste away my time. I'll make the now and the days of my life count for Him as I live to obey my Savior and fulfill His will for my life. When I come to that last day of that last month and I'm at the boundary, I won't have to face Him ashamed or with regret. I can face Him with joy, with excitement, for the entrance that's waiting for me in glory. What are you doing with your life? Father, it's our message. Very simple. Very important. There are men and women and boys and girls listening to my voice today that are wasting the days and wasting the months and moving on toward that boundary that's fixed with no thought of their relationship with God. They are playing the fool. They are wasting their life. They're living their life without choosing to accept Christ, and in not choosing Christ, we've automatically been condemned to go to hell because we have not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ.